I would introduce just briefly a brother in Christ many of you know. Jamie Woodall and his family are here this morning. They are our newest missionary family. We started supporting them here at the beginning of the year, and they are church planting up in the northern part of lower Michigan, the Boyne City area. And Jamie had an opportunity this morning to be with us, and I said, I'll take it. So Jamie's here this morning. Introduce your family, your ministry. Open the Word of God to us. It's wonderful to have you here, brother.
Well, you know, I was thinking there's two reasons why I love being here. You know, number one, we crossed the Indiana state line, and I took in a deep breath and I said, Colts country. Once again, out of Lions country, into Colts country. And the second reason was just thinking about coming back to this place. God used this place to change my life. You know, He worked through people and many friends out there. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for being friends of our family. Thank you for being our support base. Thank you very much for reading our updates. It means very, very much to us that you're a part of our lives and you partner with us. We see it as a partnership, a kingdom investment that's much needed, very critical. God has called our family to Boyne City to minister. He's put that on our hearts and He's led us that direction. In a minute, my wife Christy is going to share with you a little bit how that transpired, going up to Petoskey and being there, serving as a church planting resident and entering into the ministry of going forth into Boyne City and beginning a new work that is actually part of Genesis Church, the church that we've been serving with, but now is another location where a worship gathering is going to transpire, part of the same church, but a new body of believers raising up from that place. So she's going to share that in just a minute. I want to just show you a little bit. I guess I've got the thing here. I forgot. All right, let's get this thing turned on. Here we go. I want to show you a little bit. This is where we're at. You know, he said the upper part of lower Michigan. Well, we were just up in the UP vacationing up above there, but we're down there. If you see Petoskey there, the orange circle, right below it with the arrow there, there's Boyne City. And all northern Michigan area, there's a need there. There's a need for vibrant, dynamic churches doing the work of the Lord, serving Christ, and getting involved in other people's lives. And that's why we're there. There's about 3,500 people in that city right there, but there's many smaller connected towns where people travel into Boyne City. And we're going to have an opportunity to affect a lot of those other smaller surrounding towns as well. But there's a great need for a vibrant, dynamic church focused outward in the lives of people, reaching new people for Christ in that area right there, Boyne City. So I'm going to let my wife share a little more of that. One other thing I just want to share with you is that there are some prayer contracts back there. And this morning is going to be about prayer. We're going to ask the question, who or what are we depending on? That's where we're headed this morning. And so we're going to look at a passage of Scripture, but we are desperate for your prayer. If you have it on your heart to be very much involved, a worker, a hard worker on your knees for our family, then there's a prayer contract back there for you. We'd like you to pick one up at our table right outside the window here and be a part of that team. We're not just asking if you want to pray for us every once in a while, but this is like a weekly prayer warrior. So if you feel like God's blessed your prayer life and that's where you're at, then we would like to ask you to be part of that team. If you'd like to sign up just for some email updates, then you can do that in the back as well. And we would like to continue to update you and let you in on what God's doing in our lives and ministry up there. She's got the control.
Good morning. He only gave me 5 minutes. I wanted to be the one to preach, but he said I had to share what God did this last year. So, no, I'm just kidding. My name is Christy, as he already said, and I just want to share what God has done a little bit in our hearts and in our ministry since we were here. I think it was a year ago, May. And when we were sharing with you last year, we knew that God had called us to Petoskey through a series of events and some U-turns. And he sent us to work with Genesis Church, and our theme was to train and go, to be up there for 2 years to learn more about church planting and the specific work in northern Michigan to help that church grow in some spiritual formation, spiritual development, grow their small group ministry, and then to go. And our lead pastor, Norm Byers, said, you know, I hold you with open hands. He said, we'd love for you to stay connected and maybe plant off of Genesis, but if that's not where God is calling you, then you go where God is calling you. And at that point, we didn't know. That was a big question mark. And since then, he has really done some specific things in our hearts individually and personally, but he's also given us three things that I want to share with you that he's really directed us in. And the first one is where, you know, where are we going to go? And that really came to light about a year ago last fall. Our leadership team in Genesis began to pray because they already had it on their heart from the time that they planted about 4 years ago that they would plant again, or that they would plant a church. And that was just part of their makeup, that they were going to be a church that started that planted other churches. And so their big question was where. And so they began to pray as a leadership team, where would you have Genesis plant? And then it was around the same time that a lot of our church family that travels up from Boyne City, it's about a 15-minute drive, began to say, you know, there are a lot of churches in Boyne City, but we just really feel like there's a need for a new church in this area. And research began, and Jamie really did a lot of research talking to other clergy members down there, and it was really revealed that consistently what was said was that between 70 and 80% of people in Boyne City were not attending church anywhere. This is from the clergy there. And they said that they really didn't know why. They didn't understand why. And so that was the first thing, was where to plant and where was our part in it. And so God began to direct and point to, his finger toward Boyne City. The second thing was I have two more things. I'm just trying to figure out with my pictures which one I want to share next. What would the church look like? Now, the church that we're in, it meets in a movie theater. It has great worship music, and Norm has focused on the way that our lead pastor did it was he focused his whole first year with building a launch team to go toward a gathering or the morning service. And we just prayed, Lord, what is it that you would have us do? What would this church look like? And he began to show us both individually that our strength and our heart's desire is small group ministry, not just small group ministry, but people that are following or seeking Christ and they don't know him yet and they have lots of questions, that is really what we enjoy being a part of as far as ministry. We've had two specific groups in our home this past year. They're called Starting Point Ministries, and it's just a place where we said, you know, you feel questions and you don't feel comfortable, this is a place where you can ask your questions. You can either say them out loud or write them down, and we'll talk about them. And the Lord showed us that that's really a strength that he's given us. The way that he showed us these points, I need to back up a little bit and just share that we really felt impressed and convicted upon our hearts that we needed to go before the Lord daily together. And Jamie said, you know, I want to start getting up before the kids get up in the morning and have our quiet time together, but also just be on our knees before the Lord. And that has really changed our lives, but it's also grown our faith in the Lord. If there's anything, I guess, that I can impress upon you this morning is that it's a sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice that is, it changes your life. And I know that many of you assume that people in ministry just automatically get up and they spend hours in prayer and things like that. And it's kind of like we were praying and we're praying on our own, but there is something different about being together before the Lord, crying out to him in the mornings. When you go in ministry, you sense that it's not really about us. It's not about our strength and it's not about our giftedness. It's really where he reveals that we need to depend on him more. And I think that that's what he's revealed. And this morning being here has just really touched my heart, because he's seeing the baptism and being part of the Lord's Supper. I've really realized what he's given me. And I'm really very, very grateful. And he's grown my faith And I'm just very thankful to be part of church planting. The pastor's wife of Genesis and I kid around that when we share our ministry with new people that we cried the first time her husband said they wanted to go into church planting because it's a hard ministry and you're leaving the securities of an established church and you're going out there and you don't always know where your money's going to be and things like that. And yeah, as the Lord grows your faith, He grows your confidence in Him. And it's just really, you get to be part of many blessings. So I'm just very grateful for that. I'm going to flip through these pictures because I have a couple things to share with you. This is the third thing that God, actually, two more things. He wanted us to, or actually one more thing, sorry. Like very confused. He did show us that, like I said, that the church that he wants us to plant was to focus on small groups. And so this fall we're going to be trying to start many small groups, leading groups, seeker groups, and then that will go toward launching a public gathering. And that's kind of what God has done in our lives. And that's been really exciting because you don't always know. There's different ways to plant a church. And you don't know what is the right way and what's the right fit for a community. And he did that through our prayer time. And so that was really neat. The third thing was that we said, Lord, we need people. We cannot do this on our own. And we know that you have people out there. But this can't ride on our shoulders alone. We have a family, and it's just impossible. And these pictures are the people that God has brought to our team. And we're just so grateful. These people, many of them have been part of the first church plant. And the statistics show that when couples come and they're part of a launch team for the first time, like they give a year commitment, they're gone because they're so burnt out that they go back to an established church to recuperate. And there's several of these people that have been part of Genesis from the beginning, and they're excited about God doing a work in Boyne City. And that just excites me because I know how hard they've been working so far. And I know that they're going to put forth a lot of effort. And so this is a couple, Bob and Vicki Farrell and their son Mitchell. And they're just a huge encouragement to our family. This is Dave Waller. He's another gentleman who, you notice a lot of these people are older than us. And we're just very grateful because they have wisdom that we need. And so I just think it's neat that God pairs up people that you need for your ministry. Chad Brightup, God's given us some musicians. We need musicians. He leads worship, and so we're hoping that he'll do that in Boyne City. And along with the small groups, we are going to couple our ministry and our efforts to having outreach events or just serve events in Boyne City. We've done two so far. And what we've done, the first thing we did was a free work day. And if you get our updates, you know that the Lord really blessed that. We had not only our team come out to serve, and we just kind of talked to people and said, hey, who needs work? We talked to the school system. Who needs work done? And so we got some work orders in. And we had people that weren't even part of Genesis that heard about it said, I want to come serve. And so that was a huge blessing. This here is our second event. And this was more just a get to know you. And we called it Family Fun Fest too, and we had it right there on Lake Michigan. We had bounce houses, and we believe that between 250 and 300 people actually showed up. And this is a really cool thing too. I just share that we had this night picked out. We didn't know if the weather was going to be great, but there was a carnival the same night just down the road, and it was their last night, and they were going to get done. The carnival was over like an hour after we had started, and so we knew we were going to get a lot of foot traffic. So Jamie made signs that said free, and so people came because they saw that the pizza was free, and we served over 500 slices of pizza, and the band played, and we had a juggler and a magician, and just a way to say, you know what, we care about you, we want to provide some fun, this is who we are if you have questions. And so we're just very grateful. We just see God doing a lot of work. And I just want to end by sharing a verse. It says in Ephesians 3, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And I just want to say thank you also for praying for us and partnering with us. We treasure your prayers.
Good job. Thank you, Chris. This is one guy coming out. This is a free pizza here. We had a band, and there we are. Wyatt on the back there. He's on my back because if he wasn't on my back, he'd probably be in a boat going out in the lake or something. So I made sure he was on my back. Here's one of the groups that was in our home. This is the speaker group that Chris was talking about. It's called the Starting Point Group. And it allows people to really begin to explore and navigate together, you know, questions that they have. They're not followers of Christ yet, but they all have questions, and they want to feel comfortable in asking those questions. And so we take one question each week and go through the Scriptures and just do a deep dive on that question and look at all the different places that Scripture talks about that. And it was a very open forum. Anyone could say anything, and they really enjoyed that. We built tremendous friendships through that. Some of them are followers of Christ now. Others are not yet. But we still have tremendous friendships with those people. Here we are. We had a night here real quick where we got them put in place an overview of the Bible. You know, we had fun with that. So they had to figure out which big events took place that they thought were significant. And then we talked about those events and added a couple and tweaked it. So what's our Boyne City plan? Just summarizing this, and then we're going to move on to other things. We want to genuinely serve the community. We don't want to just do it so that we can recruit people to church. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus and show compassion. We're going to have a free clothing day. A lot of people around Boyne City were wearing sweatshirts and things that I noticed last year, and they need coats and things. So we're going to have some nice coats and partner with some other nonprofits, not necessarily churches, but maybe one or two, I don't know. But we're going to have that coming in November. So a free clothing day, genuinely serving the community, starting multiplying home groups, you know, helping them. We've seen groups form in Petoskey area and then birth new groups and go into other areas. We've got we're going to be starting 3 new home groups in Boyne City this year of 8 to 12 people strong. We have host homes and facilitating couples, and that's all God. It's all depending on Him. And launching a dynamic worship gathering, that is another step that's part of forming a church. And that's what people look at and say, well, there's a church there. There's an identity. But really, it starts in the beginning. You know, church is the people coming together, serving, meeting in homes, studying the Word. And then the worship gathering is another great expression of celebrating what He's doing. So I want to talk to you about, I'll leave it right there for a minute. I just want to tell you that I want to spend the rest of our time this morning sharing with you what it is that has made all the difference for us in our lives and in our ministry. It has made all the difference. And, you know, this is something that moves me when I think about it, because it was something that I heard in church. It's something that I grew up thinking about. Even when I was in college and seminary, I knew it was important. I knew the theology of it. But you know what? I don't really think I got it. And I think that there's so much like that in church. You can hear about it, you can study it, you can hear great messages on it, but we don't always really get it. The thing that's made all the difference in our lives is prayer. Depending on God. Depending on Him. John Wesley spent 2 hours in prayer every day. Man wrote many, many books. Many, many people coming to Christ. Many people's lives changed through him. Millions. God does nothing except in response to believing prayer. Believing prayer. God does nothing except in response to believing prayer. C.S. Lewis says, relying on God in prayer has to begin all over again every day as if nothing had yet been done. It's something that happens again and again every day. It's not like we get it one day, but he says we have to do it every day. E.M. Bounds says that prayer is the greatest of all forces because it honors God and brings Him into active aid. Prayer works, he says. It's calling on God to do what we cannot do. Charles Spurgeon, I love this quote. I would rather teach one man to pray than ten men to preach. It's the difference between what a guy can do and what a God can do. He says it's more important what God can do than what a guy can do. Martin Luther, you've probably heard this quote before. Work, work, from morning until late at night. In fact, I have so much to do that I shall have to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Then God says, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. I think sometimes we don't understand the depth of God's healing through prayer. God wants to heal our hearts. God wants to shape us and change us. And he says, if you will do this, if you will call on my name, if you'll get serious about this deal, then I will heal your heart. I will heal it. And I will do things in your land that are beyond what you could ever think or imagine. If people will humble themselves and call on my name. I love this one. Call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. These things you don't know about because you haven't lived them, you don't understand them yet, but if you call on me, I'll do them. I'll do them. We're living that right now. We're just scratching the surface. I want to talk to you about a guy in the scriptures who was backed up against the wall. And he had some very difficult things going on under his rule, King Hezekiah. You can turn to Isaiah 36 if you have your Bibles. You know, we've had some great things this morning take place. You know, baptism and just sharing in the meal of remembrance together. And I love those things. You know, it's great to see people get baptized and remind this is what it's all about, that God changes lives. Good job, you guys, wherever you're at. Great job taking that step. But that's why I want to be a little more straightforward this morning. We're not going to have a lot of razzle-dazzle illustrations or stories. You know, I just want to, you know, come straightforward with the life of Hezekiah and what he did and what occurred with him. You know, in Isaiah 36 here, this is what it says. This is what occurred. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. Then the king of Assyria sent his field commander with a large army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. And when the commander stopped at the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field, Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, the recorder, went out to him. So here's what's occurred. Here's Sennacherib, this evil king who's basically been going through the country, destroying every other city around. You know, families hiding out. You know, dads and moms split up. And Assyria is getting ready to just destroy all of this land and take them all prisoner, take them all captive. There's no future. There's no hope, it looks like. And here's the opportunity where King Hezekiah is basically going to send out his field commander. He's the representative. He's the army leader. And he's going to have this conversation with Hezekiah's representatives. And so Hezekiah's representatives come out to them and they begin to have this discussion that's quite amazing. And this is what the field commander tells them from King Assyria, King Sennacherib of Assyria. The field commander said to them, he says, tell Hezekiah, this is what the great king of Assyria says. On what are you basing this confidence of yours? You say that you have strategy and military strength, but you speak only empty words. On whom are you depending that you rebel against me? I think that's a great question. He taunts them and he says, who are you depending on? What are you depending on? I mean, look, you are far outnumbered. We've got all these people ready to slice and dice you up, ready to crush you, come in and attack you, take your lives from you. You guys maybe have 1 to 10 of our military strength. You guys are up against the wall. There's no way out. So let me ask, why don't you just surrender? What is the deal? Let's get this over with so that we don't crush you guys, so that we don't have to take your lives, so that we don't have to wipe you out. You know, I think that's a great question. Whom or what are you depending on? I kind of see Sennacherib as like the evil one, tempting us, saying, really, who are you depending on? I mean, do you really think that God can do this in your life? Do you really think God can take care of this situation or that situation, the situation at school or this situation at work? Or look, that guy or this person in your family has never changed. What makes you think they're going to change now? Why should you even really begin to go out on a limb to share Christ with that person? Whom or what are you depending on? What makes you think that God can actually do that? And I think that a lot of times in our lives, we're very, very tempted to depend on the wrong things. You know, and to think that, I can get it done. You know, or there can be things that I can depend on that could take place that could change things. But we're not depending on the right things. We're not depending on God Himself. So whom or what are we depending on? Are we depending on good health? Are we just hoping that maybe our bodies won't break down, which is really not going to happen? Our body's going to break down. I mean, do we hope that that happens? And when our bodies break down, are we a mess? Are we on the floor in shambles? You know, and just like, oh, this, oh, that, I can't do this. Now, I don't know what that's like yet, but I know someday I'm going to have to realize that it's time to depend on the Lord. It's time to depend on the Lord. Or maybe it's your financial situation, you know. And we think, okay, if I have this job and it holds up, and we know in today's economy, we talk to one out of three. Families, right? 1 out of 4 families are going through some kind of job crisis in our area, up in Michigan, it seems like. Some kind of difficult situation. And if we put our faith in, you know, having this job, that it's going to be there, you know, it's going to provide for our families, and we just can continue to make moves up the ladder or whatever else in our lives, then everything's going to be cool. You know, that this situation is going to be okay. But the truth is that things do happen, and we know that people do lose jobs, and we know that families begin to have to cut back and figure out what's going to go and what's not going to go and other things. And we have to ask the question, whom or what am I depending on? Again, am I depending on that job to take care of my family? Whom or what are we depending on? Are we depending on whether we have enough friends or whatever else? This field commander continues his taunts, and if you look in verse 13 here, he says, then the commander stood and he called out in Hebrew, hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you. He cannot deliver you. Do not let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord when he says, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hands of the king of Assyria. So don't let him tell you that we're not going to destroy you. Don't let him tell you to trust in the Lord. And he goes on and talks about, hey, no city out there that's ever put their trust in any god has ever been spared. That's what the king of Assyria says, and that's a lie. That's a lie, because that's not true. You have the history of Israel, and there were times that Israel was spared because of God. Even before that. And we're continuing to believe lies that we can't depend on God. Well, what I want to do is I want to look at the prayer, the next thing that Hezekiah does is he goes in to the temple of the Lord. It says, when Hezekiah heard this, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and went into the temple of the Lord. You know, the truth is that at this point in Hezekiah's life, there could have been many things that he could have done. He could have gone in or he could have rallied his greatest army commanders. He could have, you know, said, we need to have a powwow right away. You know, he could have got with his wisest counselors. He could have phoned a friend. You know, but he didn't do that. He went in and he tore his clothes before the temple of the Lord. And he went straight to God. He went straight to the one who could actually do something about the whole situation. And he begins to pray because he believes prayer works. Prayer works. So here's Hezekiah's prayer. He goes in before God and it says, Hezekiah received this letter from the messengers. And he read it. And he went up to the temple of the Lord and he spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. This is what he prays. O Lord Almighty, God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to all the words Sennacherib has sent to insult the living God. It is true, O Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste all these peoples and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by human hands. Now, O Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God. You know, there's five characteristics of moving interaction with God. There's prayer times, you know, where we have prayer times, you know, and we say, God, thank you for this food, thank you for this day, amen. And then there's moving interaction with God. There's moving interaction with God. And what we're going to do is look at this. The first thing that we see is there's humility. There's humility in Hezekiah's prayer. Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. He says, O Lord Almighty, God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, he says, you alone are God. I think sometimes in our lives, it's hard to get a picture of how big God is. It's hard to get a picture that God is bigger than the situation that's right in front of us. And all we can think about is the negative of what's not happening or what can't happen or, you know, we can't do this or this isn't happening right now. But God wants us to get our heads out of the sand and off the ground. And he wants us to look up at him and see how big he is. You know, we have a beautiful mountain ridge not far from our home and I get to jog to it or bike on it, you know, and a lot of times I'll jog up this mountain. And it's a beautiful spot where you can see out over the entire city of Boyne City. And I'll just stand up there and I'll just call out to God. Hey, God, I don't know what in the world I'm doing. God, this sky right here I'm looking at is beautiful. These clouds, you put that there. It's like cotton candy. You know, somehow you made the seasons where it just moves in and there's a mist right there and there's a water over the earth and under the earth and drops down in the morning and at night and all these things. And this water that I'm looking at, God, you dropped it. You dropped it right in there. That's your water that you made. And I see these cars of people driving around, you know, in the streets. And I see people walking. I say, God, you made those people. Those people are yours. You created every one of them. God, I don't know what I'm doing. You alone are God. You alone are God, and you've called us here. God, I just pray that you would just wash over this community. You know, your love. God, do it through our team. God, you are big and you are great, and I am small, and we need you. You alone are God, and you are almighty and you are powerful. You change my life, you can change their life. So do it, God. We call on you. You alone are God. I think, you know, it's so important. Here is Hezekiah. He's saying, Lord Almighty, you are way up there. You are God, and you are bigger than the situation. You made heaven and earth. You can take care of this too. You can take care of this too, God. Humility. I can't do it. And sometimes, you know, especially us guys, you know, we think that we can do it. You know, I mean, everything in life around us says, just pull yourself up, you know, get going. You can do it on your own. But God wants us to say, I can't do it. I can't do it. But you can. You can work through me and you can do great things. Humility. Moving interaction with God means that we humble ourselves and say, you alone are God. Second thing that we see in this passage is we see desperation. Sometimes we don't always hear desperation in our prayers. Now, sometimes desperation is not there. It's just another day where we say another prayer. But here's what Hezekiah says. He says, give ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to all the words Sennacherib has sent to insult the living God. Don't you think God was already opening his ears? I mean, don't you think he was already opening his eyes? I mean, it's almost funny when you think about it. I mean, give ear, O Lord. Well, does God have ears? I don't know. But he says, listen. He says, listen, God, please hear. Open your eyes. Open your eyes, God. See, listen to all the words that Sennacherib has said. God wants us, you know, there's times where we ask, you know, should we continue to pray for the same thing over and over and over and over and over again? Is that not faith? Shouldn't we just pray for it once maybe and just trust God that he'll take care of it? I've wrestled with that before in my prayer life. I thought, shouldn't I just pray for it once? Because if I pray in faith, shouldn't I believe that every other thing after it should happen? You know, and not beg him to do it? I don't think so. The more I've thought about it, the more I've studied this passage, because God wants to see desperation. You know, I think about my child Wyatt, you know, and we just moved, and we moved all kinds of things over to Boyne City. And I'm putting beds together, and I'm looking for screws, and I'm looking for that was supposed to be taped to this over here so that I could put this together. You guys know what I'm talking about. And Wyatt's, you know, tugging on me. He's like, Daddy, Daddy, bump, you know, bumps into me, you know, grabs my leg. And I'm like, Wyatt, not now. And, you know, you only get that time, you know, a very short time in your life when your son's bumping into you like that. But I'm not noticing him. I'm not noticing him at all. Now, I don't think that's so much the case with God. I think he notices us. But then when Wyatt's in the other room and I hear this, Daddy, you know, and he starts crying. That was pretty ugly, wasn't it? But you hear this, I mean, and he's crying out, and then guess what? I'm dropping the screws. I'm dropping the bed frame. I'm running. And I really believe that God has the same heart as a father, that when we desperately cry out and we know that we need him, and we show him that we really, really need him, and we stop and we run and we say, God, hear me. Hear me. Father, I have no idea what I'm going to say to this person. Their family's about to split up. And I'm supposed to talk with them. Help me. God, listen to our prayers for this family. I can't seem to control my frustration sometimes, God. I feel overwhelmed with stress. And I feel short and angry with the kids. God, they need to see your love. I don't want to see patterns begin in their lives. Help me. Help me, God. Help me be a dad that shows your unfailing love to my kids. God, I beg you to rescue Darren. God, rescue him. He's just off in Never Never Land. He's committed his life to you verbally, but he's just living all kinds of other things in other ways. You have saved him. You, I believe that you've done something in his life, God, but he's a disobedient child right now. I just pray that your love would bring him back. Bring him back. God, rescue us. Save us. Desperation. That moves God into aid for our lives. Humility and desperation. Next thing is clarity. You see clarity in Hezekiah's prayer. This is what he says. He says, "It is true, O Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste to all these people and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by human hands." And he starts telling them this specific situation. Now, does God know about the situation already? Of course he does. Of course he does. But there's something that happens in our lives when we begin to think about and interact with holy God on a very specific situation. Instead of saying, "God, help my friend. Bye-bye." You know, "Help my friend. Do this, God. Take care of us." God wants to hear us say, "God, there's this family in Boyne City. You know them well. Their names are Jody and Crail. And Mom has deceitfully spent $33,000 of the inheritance money. And she's been living lies years. And Crail's just found out about it. God, you know about the situation. Their kids are in the middle. They're about to split. They need your help. God, I pray that you would work in that mom's life, that she would repent, she would turn from her sin, she'd bow, she'd put her nose to the ground, and she would say, 'You are God, forgive me.' And then she would go to her kids and she would ask for forgiveness, and she would go to her husband and ask for forgiveness, and that you would begin the restoration process in their lives, and that you would allow, you know, us to be involved, that she would submit to a process, and that they would submit to a process, and they would get their lives back on track, and that they would start following you, and that they would come to know the leadership of your son, Jesus Christ, in their lives, and they could be a part of our launch team, and that they could show others the grace of you and how you want to work in Boyne City's people's lives because of the change that's taking place in their lives. And God, I just pray that you would explode this place with grace through their lives." What situation do you need to pray specifically through? Clarity in your prayers, in our prayers. And then deliverance. Hezekiah prayed for deliverance. He says, "Now, O Lord, our God, he says, "deliver us from his hand so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are God." You are God. Deliver us. King Hezekiah knew that he needed deliverance desperately. And we need to realize that in our lives, from these situations that we feel like we can't overcome, we need deliverance. We need deliverance. "Deliver me from self-righteous attitudes," you know, where I think that I'm, you know, I've got it all together. God, deliver me from that. "Deliver me from being a poser," you know, being a spiritual poser. Help me to be genuine and sincere in the way that I come across with people, to really say what I mean what I say. "Deliver me from apathy. Deliver me from fear, from worry. Deliver me, God, from these things." And finally, deliver me. The final thing here is just the prayer of faith. You know, do you believe that this prayer, Hezekiah believed that God was going to come through? I do. I do believe that God, that he believed that God was big enough to come through, that if he wanted to come through, he was going to come through. He left it in his hands. I believe that. That's faith. "I leave it in your hands, God, but you are big enough. You could come through if you want to. I leave it in your hands." And he did. And God did come through. You know, if you look at this prayer, you look, I don't know if you noticed at the beginning, the headlines, it says Hezekiah's prayer. And then the next section is what? Sennacherib's fall. Prayer works. Prayer works. Hezekiah's prayer, Sennacherib's fall. And God intervenes and he does great, great things because Hezekiah prayed in faith. God, you put it on our hearts to launch 3 new Boyne City home groups. You've given us the resources to do it. You've provided 3 host homes this year and 3 facilitating couples. And we are expecting you to bring people through our relational networks with these people. We're expecting you to do it, God. We're expecting you to bring their questions to the surface so that we can have meaningful interactions in these groups. And we're expecting you, God, to change their hearts through our team of people and change our hearts in the process as we do this. God, we are expecting you to rescue people's lives from sin and rebellion against you so that they can have the best lives ever. We're expecting you to do it, God. We're praying that you will do it, and we know you can do it. So do it, God. Do it. We are trusting you. You know, I want to just share with you, just in closing here, that, you know, one of the reasons why we, you know, just very personally, we got in church planning is we did not want to live the mediocre Christian life. Now, that has nothing to do with different ministries. That may look different for each person. You know, what ministry God may want. It might be just the person in front of you at the desk next to you that you need to talk with. Or you need to involve in your lives and show them compassion and begin to ask God to use you in their lives. But for us, one of the things was I don't want to live a mediocre Christian life. You know, I don't want to sit back and do nothing for God. I want to live on a limb. Because that is where the fruit is. It's out on the limb. And if we can climb out to get it, then God will bless us. But one thing we've realized, and you heard Christy say it, is we know that we're not smart enough. You know, our ideas aren't good enough. We're not talented enough. We need people on our team. More than anything, we need God. We need him. We need him to help us. We need to depend on him. It's about him and his glory and his kingdom. And everything he wants to do in our lives is about that. For 10 months, Chris and I have started a practice that has changed our lives. And I want to leave you with this. Don't mess around. Have moving interaction with God. Men, I want to challenge you to lead your families in prayer on your knees, even. I want to lead you to pray with your spouses. I want to encourage you to do that, and it will change your life. We started this practice 10 months ago. I know, well, it's supposed to be in ministry. It didn't happen before that in this way. But 10 months ago, every weekday morning, we get up at 6:15, we set the coffee pot in Maxwell House, so good the last drop. But we set the coffee pot and we begin, you know, our study in individual time in the Word. And then about 7 a.m., the best time of my day comes is when we lock arms and we begin to pray and we call out to God for different things that we cannot do on our own. We can't do it. We can't do it without him. We must depend on God. Who or what are you depending on? Who or what are we depending on in our lives? Let's pray. Let's depend on God.